Father, we just thank you that you are raising the standard, Lord, in this nation. Lord, even where Christians are starting to wake up, Lord, to their purposes and to their true callings, Lord. And just we thank you that you are busy stirring hearts and that you're making us, Lord, you're getting us ready, Lord, for the battle, Lord. That we all, Lord, remain in line and that we remain in our places, God, and don't look around and compete with other Christians or compete with other people. But, Lord, you're raising the standard, Lord. And as we get into line, Lord, at the same time, you're also opening eyes of the blind, God. You're opening people's hearts to the truth of the gospel and to the only truth that there is and to the only way and the only life, and that is through Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, for the good news going out into this nation. We thank you, Lord, that even as the devil comes in to try to stop what you are busy doing, Lord, that you raise the standard, Lord. As the devil comes in like a flood, you raise the standard. The Spirit of God raises the standard. And so thank you that we can be partners, Lord, with you in South Africa at this time. Thank you for this new year. Thank you that we can commit this nation to you and everything that happens, Lord. We pray especially for the government and just for the people that are making decisions, Lord, crucial decisions, Lord. We thank you that your will ultimately will come to pass, God, and your kingdom will advance in this nation. And we're excited, Lord. So many people over the years have been trusting you for breakthrough. And Lord, we're starting to see glimpses, Lord. We're starting to see it, but there's still so much, Lord, that needs to change and so much that needs your intervention. And so we pray, Lord, that you would intervene into the dark areas, God, of this nation, where even behind closed doors and in dark places, decisions are being made and things are happening contrary to your will. And so we thank you that you would expose that, Lord, and that you would deliver people of their evil ways, Lord. Deliver people, save people, Lord. We're not fighting here against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people, Lord, but the principalities and the powers of darkness. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have conquered them. And on the cross, it is finished. You said it is finished. Lord, you have made your move, Lord. And you're coming back to judge the response to that move. You're coming back to see who's got faith on this earth. And so we thank you, Lord, that we intercede for people tonight, Lord. We don't intercede against something or go against, but we intercede and we ask that you would forgive and have mercy on those who don't know what they're doing, Lord. But thank you that your mercies are everlasting. And thank you that you are, Lord, are such a merciful and loving God. And so we thank you for this window of opportunity and that this year lies ahead of us. Another year lies ahead of us as an opportunity, a window of opportunity for people to receive the gospel, Lord. And so we thank you for that. We're excited that we can play our part, a shofar Bloemfontein, we can play our part in receiving souls whose eyes have been opened to the truth, and that we can disciple people in this church, Lord. We're ready for the harvest, Lord. All of us, Lord, even though maybe our hearts are not quite there, we commit to putting our treasure there, Lord, and putting our work and our commitment there, and our hearts will follow, Lord. Even sometimes where our hearts and our minds don't want to, Lord, accept the fact that we're here to make disciples of all nations and specifically of this nation. But we choose today to make that commitment, Lord, that we'll put our treasure there where disciples are being made. We'll allow our heart to follow where our treasure is. And we'll put our commitment and our effort and our time and every resource you've blessed us with, we commit to putting that where you want us to put it, Lord. And that is in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. It's great to have you guys here. Welcome, Elizmarie. It's good to be here to see. Some I haven't seen for about a month. I've seen in the last few weeks. So welcome to all of you guys. Isn't it amazing to be at the beginning of a new year? How many of you guys have written down sort of goals or what they call resolutions? I mean, I don't really like resolutions because it's sort of something that people just do and then after 2 days it sort of fades away and stuff. But how many of you guys have thought about what your year holds? Or have you thought about any goals specifically? Has anyone done that? Do you guys do that or not? No one does that? Conrad, purpose-driven man there, I'm sure he's done it. Graham said he's done it. Anyone else thought about what? Have you asked God? I know my wife's great at doing that. She inspires me to write down very specific stuff, achievable things. Anyone else done that? But if you haven't done that, I want you to do that. Take this week off. If you're not studying yet and you've got time, don't waste that time. Say, God, what do you want? What have you got for me this year? What is on your heart? It doesn't matter about my goals, because sometimes we set our goals and then we need to say, God, are these truly your goals? Do you want me to do this or not? So if you haven't done that, isn't it amazing? We can forget about the past, forget about worrying about all your mistakes and all the stuff that you didn't do last year and that you committed, when you look back in your diary and you see, oh, this is what I wanted to do in 2011 and I did nothing of it, forget about that, okay? Set yourself some realistic goals and say, God, and ask for a scripture even. I want to encourage you, ask for a scripture that will carry you through the year. Because you know what? I believe this year is going to be a year of, it's going to be a very exciting year, but you know what goes with excitement? Who's been on a roller coaster? You know, you have some ups and downs and there's excitement, but there's a lot of adrenaline and there's even a bit of doubt as to, aren't you going to fall out sometime, or is this thing not going to crash? Or so with excitement comes a lot of challenges, but it's going to be, I really believe it's going to be an excellent year, but I believe we need to be ready for this year and we need to be prepared and not be unawares. And God has been speaking to me this last week or so, just about, or even before the end of last year, just about not being reactive to stuff, but being proactive, you know, making your year happen, making your stuff happen. Don't react to what's happening around you. Don't let be a victim of reaction, but be proactive and decide to step into the will of God. And if things don't go your way and you know it is the will of God, then you just push through and you say, God, I know you've called me to do this and circumstances don't look good, but I'm going to push through and I'm going to see it come to pass because God is faithful. Amen. So I want you guys to ask the Lord what he has in store for you and use this time now, because guess what? The year has started. Right? It's the 8th of January today already. It's been a week. Last Sunday we were here, just 10 of us. And it's amazing to think, you know, a week has gone by. The year is moving. And if we don't move with it and we don't decide to use our time and be good stewards of our time this year, we're going to be at the end of 2012 very soon and we're going to have thought, what did we accomplish? What did we truly do for the Lord? And it's not about doing works, but I believe this is the year of really bearing fruit and taking ground. I believe God wants us to be to conquest this year. You know, conquest means where we claim ground back. It's a bit of a warfare term, but it's also sort of where we just take ground back. We claim souls back for the Lord. We claim even physical ground, and it's so significant that God has given us this new venue where we don't know how long we're going to have it for, but I just know it's a much bigger venue than this and can take probably up to 700 people. So our church can grow. We can have two services. We can have lots of people coming to church. God is, you know, caused us to have Bible. We can have it for Bible school. We can have foundations there. Just a significant time of growth in our church. And I believe God wants to do it in all our lives. He wants us to claim the ground back where the devil has stolen people whose lives have been wrecked by just bad choices. God wants to claim that back. And we need to pray for them and lead them and make disciples. So I believe it's a year of real claiming back for the Lord what the devil has stolen. But whatever God is saying to you, it's going to be significant and it's going to tie in. I believe God is not confused. It's going to tie in with the church as well, because God is not going to say something totally different to you and you're in this church and now we're going in a direction and you're going in a direction. It's going to help and aid what God is doing in this church. But I want to challenge you to do that at the start of this year. Now, Hester and I were privileged to go on holiday with my, not on holiday, but it was like a long weekend over the Christmas period. We went to the Van der Kloof Dam, the old P.K. La Rue Dam, okay? We did some skiing and some boating and tenting. My parents have got a caravan and they love to go caravanning, so they set up the caravan and we stayed in our three-man tent or four-man even. Matthew was in there in his little cot in the tent, the two of us on our double bed mattress there. And one night God decided to send a little bit of a thunderstorm. Now, when you're in a tent in a thunderstorm and you're under a tree, you know, you've got to make some decisions. Am I going to stay in the caravan with my parents? Am I going to sleep? And am I going to find a house in there is a little town there. My brother and his wife stayed in a guest house. And I thought maybe we can stay there now because this looks quite threatening. But anyway, this thunderstorm was quite severe, you know, and you're lying there in the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, and suddenly you just hear these crashes of thunder and this lightning bolts, and you basically just see the flash, and then you wait, you start counting the seconds as to how far this lightning actually is, you know. And my dad tells a story about one worker on the farm, because they were in a thunderstorm on the farm, and he told this guy, he was sitting next to him in the bucky, and then he said, you must count now. He says, as you've seen, and he's speaking Afrikaans to the colored guy, and he says, as you die weerlig daar sien, dan moet jy tel 1 krokodil, 2 krokodil, 3 krokodil, 4. And then, you know, if that's basically the number of seconds that go by when you hear the sound. You know, if it's 1 second, it's 1K away, basically. So if it's 5 seconds an hour. That night, I was sort of counting these krokodille now, and I didn't even get a chance to say one. And I turned right around, or I heard stories of other people that next morning that they'd basically just jumped like in their sleep, you know, got such a fright and turned, they found themselves facing the opposite way and everything. But it was quite a severe thunderstorm. It went for probably about an hour, and then you sort of can't really sleep, and you think, can't it just be over, and you sort of pray in tongues. But it's amazing, you get this peace of God. And you know, before, when I saw it was going to thunder and lightning, I just had this peace, you know, we're going to be fine in that tent. And it's not like I was stressing about we're going to get struck by lightning. I was more just afraid of these big crashes. I'm going to get so, you know, such a fright all the time, because I've got very sensitive ears. So I hate to sort of have loud bangs in my ears, because I kind of get a huge fright. So that was what I was more worried about. But the fact is, I was in this place of peace where I just knew, you know, even though we're under a tree and lightning can strike that tree, and it would be quite severe to see what it would do if we're in the tent right under the tree. But I just had this amazing place of peace where I just knew, you know, we are going to be fine. We don't have to stress about my brother and his wife said, come, you can just stay with us tonight. My dad and them, come sleep in the caravan if you want to. They were stressing the whole night about us in the tent. But we were just at such peace, despite the loud crashes of thunder and everything. We were just sort of at peace that nothing, and I really had peace in my heart that nothing was going to happen to us. Lightning was not going to strike the tree that where we were under, or even our tent. But you see, it's this place that I want to preach about this evening, because I believe that we all need to be in this place continuously. Psalm 91 talks about it. Talks about being in the secret place. But I want to show you some things tonight about the secret place, because I believe we need to remain in this secret place this year, because if we're not, we're going to be shaken by the roller coaster ride. We're going to be shaken by things that are going to happen around us. And even this year has already started with the ANC celebrations, where it's quite significant, quite an impact to a city right at the beginning of the year. But I believe it's just significant for Bloom. I believe it's just going to be exciting stuff and lots of things happening and lots of opportunities for us to share the gospel. Because, you know, 100,000 people coming here, it's quite a lot, you know. Other churches handed out these amazing little flyers, and it just said, we bless you guys, but we just want to tell you the truth is this is the gospel, Jesus is the King. And we handed out, and I heard stories of people just breaking down and crying when they were given this by someone not supporting their party, but just showing them the love of God and people responding to God's love. So you see, if people like this come, we often just fly, we just want to flee away and just go somewhere else until it's over. But you know, when 100,000 people come to a city, it's a huge opportunity. And it, in a way, it was a bit of a challenge for us, because, you know, all of us are on holiday during this time. But, you know, where is the gospel going out at this time? If people come in the middle of the year, are we going to respond to it? We must just hear what God says. But I believe there are opportunities. But you know where those opportunities are going to be born is in the secret place. And I believe God wants us to dwell in the secret place. Yeah, in Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's just read this carefully. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me just clarify this quickly. In order to abide, it says we must choose to dwell, right? There's a promise and there's a condition. Do you see that? The condition is he who dwells in the secret place, and the promise is shall abide under the shadow. Okay, do you see that? A promise and a condition. So it's not for anyone. The secret place is not just for any, or abiding under the shadow of the Almighty is not just for anyone. It's an amazing promise. Who wants to abide under the shadow of the Almighty? I want to feel safe under the shadow. If I'm not under the shadow of the Almighty, I'm in a dangerous place. But how do you get under the shadow, or how do you remain, abide under the shadow of the Almighty? You choose to dwell in the secret place. Okay, let's look at two definitions here. Dwell, the Hebrew word dwell means to sit down, specifically as judge, in ambush, in quiet, to remain, to continue. Very similar, the word abide means to stay permanently, to remain, to continue. Okay, so at the end it's very similar, but the very crux of it is a little bit different, because dwell means you sort of, it's not a permanent place. It's a place of where you choose to sit down and rest for a while. But guess what? If you choose to dwell, and not just to visit the secret place and to just knock on the door and quickly say, hey, I want to hear your voice quickly. Yes, thanks, I'll go and do what you've called me to do. It's dwell, it's where you just sort of sit down like in a quiet place. You actually come to rest there. And you're not in a rush. You're not wanting to move out of it in any time soon. You choose to dwell there. And then it says, if you do that, it will spill over into this place called abiding. Guess what that is? To stay permanently. Isn't that amazing? Have you seen that in the psalm? So you've got to dwell. You've got to rest in that secret place for a while. And when you do that and you start to remain there, guess what? You will stay permanently under the shadow of the Almighty. I think that's an amazing promise. And I want to do that. I trust the Lord that I will abide in this place of the shadow of the Almighty. But you know what? You're going to have to first learn to dwell in the secret place. So I want to just look at what is the secret place, first of all. Psalm 31 clarifies it here a little bit, because many of us have got our ideas of the secret place, and they're probably all partly true and probably 100% true. But I just want to show us here and clarify us from Scripture. What is the secret place? It says here in Psalm 31, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men." And then it focuses here on verse 20. "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence." Who thought the secret place was the presence of God? Well, you were right. It says here, "The secret place of your presence, you shall hide them from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So it says here specifically that the secret place is this place of God's presence with us. And I believe it's God's presence not only, you know, sometimes we think of the secret place as our quiet time. And you know, it is there. But you know, you when you leave your quiet time, you're not supposed to leave the secret place of the Most High. You're supposed to remain and dwell there until it becomes a thing of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, where you stay permanently in that place of peace and of His presence. So I believe we must learn to know that God's presence goes with us wherever we go. When we come out of that quiet time and whenever you have devotional and time with God, you must be continuing wanting to pray. Now sometimes I know my quiet time has to stop now because I've got to have breakfast with my family and everything and the day starts. Then I sort of tend to like, I'm still praying in the spirit when I'm, you know, when I finished with my quiet time and I go to sit with my family at the breakfast table. It's like I'm sort of still praying in tongues, in my spirit. My spirit's still like excited because I've just come out of this place and I don't want to leave the secret place. I want to abide continually. And then the day starts and you can easily get distracted by challenges and stuff that comes your way. But you see, God wants us to stay in the secret place. It's His presence in our lives. Not only in our quiet times. It's His presence wherever we go. But there's another one. Interesting, yeah. I found this in Psalm 27. It says, yeah, "One thing I've desired of the Lord." David writing here. And he says, "That I will seek." And he has this word again, "that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And it says, yeah, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion." Once again, this thing of trouble, hiding, pavilion. And it says, "In the secret place where of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." The secret place also talks about where we're at right now. The secret place of His tabernacle. The presence of God in the temple, in the tabernacle, dwelling together with other people. And I believe if we want to remain in the secret place of the Most High, we need to come to church. And I'm preaching to the right or to the wrong people here, because you guys all come to church. But those who don't come to church are going to miss out on dwelling in the secret place of God's tabernacle. And that's why church is so important. And I want to encourage us this year. And I'll say this again when everyone comes back, to not to get people to come to church. I mean, I'm not interested in, you know, I can preach here to a couple of chairs, but, you know, it's not going to make a difference in a life. But I want a life to come to church because God wants to minister to that life. God wants an unbeliever to come here to get saved, or a believer to come here and get inspired about His calling or His purpose or what He's going to do this year. But you see, there's a secret place where we come into the tabernacle, the secret place of God's tabernacle, where He speaks to us as a body, He speaks to us and inspires us as a church to do great exploits for Him. So I believe there are two things here, and I believe God wants us both this year, that we remain in the secret place. And guess what? Have you guys been down to this prayer room here? Have you seen amazing how they've sort of set it up to show just the, you know, entering into the Holy of Holies? There's a little room about in that corner where there's like a red veil that's been torn, representing the blood of Jesus that caused the, or when Jesus died, what happened? The veil got torn and people were able to go into the Holy of Holies. God made it possible. Before that, only the high priest was able to go in. And Jesus said, "It is finished," and the veil was torn in two and people could go into the Holy of Holies. That is the presence of God. Go and do yourself a favor and just go and see what it looks like down there. Because when you sort of go, it's not like it's spooky or anything. And I think the people of this church are very scared to go in there because they think they've still got to do a lot of stuff before they can go in there. But that just represents the veil that's been torn, the Holy of Holies. We can enter in, and there's a nice place to have communion and to. There's even the elements there for anyone who wants. This prayer room is open to anyone in Bloom, apparently. It's really great. The people here have got a heart for prayer and a heart to just seek God's face. But you see, that's what God wants us to enter in. The veil has been torn. The good news is Jesus has died for us. It's made possible. Jesus has done it for us. We can enter into the secret place. Praise to Jesus. All glory to Him. It's only because of Him that we can do it. So guess what we must do this year is we must say, "Lord, I desire Your presence more than any other year. More than 2011, more than 2010, more than the past years of my life. I want to desire to be in Your presence." Because guess what? There's going to be revelation in that secret place. There's going to be amazing stuff happen in that secret place. Are you excited? Who wants to enter into the secret place this year? Who wants to who wants to tap into God's grace for your life. Because guess what? There's exciting stuff. So what happens? Who knows what happens in the secret place? Has anyone read Psalm 91? Has anyone read the rest of Psalm 91? Let's see what happens. I trust that we're all excited to get into this place of the secret place. Because what happens? There's amazing stuff that happens when we start to abide under the shadow of Almighty and we dwell in that secret place. Amazing things happen. A whole new world opens up to us. Psalm 91 verse 2, it carries on here. The writer says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. If you look very carefully at the first two verses, Psalm 91 verse 1 and verse 2, you will see that there are four names given of God. I haven't got them up there. But first of all, it talks about the Most High, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It talks about communing with Him reverently. He's the Most High God. We don't just come casually into His presence. We don't just come as, yes, He's our friend, but you know what? God is the Most High God. So we commune with Him, we dwell with Him, we have fellowship with Him very reverently. We fear Him. Secondly, we rest in Him as the Almighty. It talks about dwelling in the, or abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He's the Almighty God. So first of all, the Most High, then the Almighty. Then in this verse, it says, yeah, I will say of the Lord, we rejoice in Him as Jehovah. We rejoice that He's our refuge and our fortress. And then lastly, we trust Him as El, the Mighty God. We trust in Him as the Mighty God. It says, in Him I will trust, my God, in Him I will trust. Have you seen this? The writer is actually testifying here of an awesome God. And guess what? God has done nothing for him yet. God has not moved, His hand has not moved at all. You see that? Many of us, we're waiting for God to do stuff for us. We're waiting for God's hand to move upon our lives and then we will give Him glory. Then we will worship Him and praise Him because He's got to do stuff for us first. But this year says, no, I know who God is. Before He's done anything else for me, I know this is He, the awesome God. I will trust in Him. Before He's even done anything, and I want to challenge you guys tonight, would you still trust fully in God even when He's done nothing for you? Even when your dreams don't come true or what you feel Him saying you must do and it doesn't happen straight away, will you still trust Him? Will you still say, this is Him, this is the God whom I trust. He's awesome. And will you testify to other people of this awesome God? See, it starts getting exciting because in the secret place, you experience who God is. You don't experience His hand because He's done nothing for you yet. Yes, maybe He's done something for you in the past, but let's just say that you're a new believer and you've been saved, and yes, He has saved you. But you know what? You just start to realize who this God is. Before He can move, before He can do miracles, you realize the character of God. This is the rock in whom I can trust. For 2012, I trust in God. I put my plans before God. And I trust in Him because He's the awesome Most High, He's the Almighty, He's Jehovah. He's the El, the one I can trust. A testimony. And this is speaking in faith, you see, because maybe he hasn't seen the hand of God moving yet. But he just knows this is the God. And I can believe that He's able to do things and He will do things. But I just know Him and I know His character. And you know, out of that comes a lot of other things. So I want to say this evening, do you know this awesome God? Because it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can enter in. Come into the secret place and then we will start to experience God's character. And maybe some of you need to do Bible school this year to really learn about who this God is, who this awesome God is. Because maybe you've just got a little bit of revelation from me or from whatever. But you know, Bible school isn't even the full counsel. That's also just a part of it. But come and do the foundations. Come and do Bible school. Come and, you know, listen to other sermons. But do whatever you've got to do to experience God's character. But first of all, come into that secret place and just say, God, you must show me. And God will lead you to different things and listen to other shofar sermons, other great sermons from Pastor Fred, preaching in Stellenbosch or wherever. But just equip yourself and say, Lord, show me who you are because I need to know your character. Before you do anything for me, Lord, you are awesome because I'm just a little insignificant person. And yes, you love me so much, God, but there's a world out there and it's not about me. It's about you. And so I want to know your character, Lord. Before anything else this year, I want to know who you are. And then you will, like this writer, you will testify and you will say to the world out there, you'll say, this is my God. In Him I trust. You'll be able to testify to so many people and say, the God I know, I can trust Him. And you know what? You can know Him too and you can trust Him. Because you know what? There's a lot of fear out there. But we need to have faith. God says He's pleased by faith alone. So first of all, in the secret place, you experience God's character. Secondly, in Psalm 91, it carries on. Listen to this. It says, surely He shall deliver you. Surely, I love that word. Surely He shall deliver you. From what? From the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And it carries on and says, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I want to just stop there. And just say, you know, there are so many things to fear in the world today. There are so many things out there that we can be afraid of and we can live in fear all our lives. But you see, if we know this God and the character of this God, we start to see our own inability and his ability to deliver us from everything that is evil and to deliver us from the fear that sometimes cripples us. You see, this is the God that we can serve. This is the God that we can know. If we just enter into that secret place, you don't only realize God's ability, but you see your own ability or your own inability to deliver yourself and to get fear out of your life. You know, many people are living just in trying to sort of stay out of fear. But you know what? There's so much fear because there's an unknown. They don't know what the future holds. They don't know when they're going to die, or none of us know when we're going to die. But you know what? They don't know what's going to happen if they die. But we do. If we know the secret place and we know we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we never have to be apart from God. Not even death can separate us. No sin, nothing can separate us from God's love. But we also know his ability to deliver us, to remove evil from us, to cover us, to take refuge. It says, under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You don't need to be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. You know, day and night, you know, many people fear more at night than during the day. But you know what it says here, that whether it's day or night, there's so much stuff to be afraid of. The arrow that flies, the terror that comes. It just talks here about there's so many. Life is full of fear. Full of things that we uncertainties and doubts in our own lives. But God says here that if you dwell in the secret place, surely I will deliver you. Surely no pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday will come near you. I will deliver you from this. I have got the ability. And then you realize in that secret place, God's ability to be able to do this. And then it carries on. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It sounds like a bit of a war. I don't know if you guys followed Pastor Sias and the team in Pakistan. They went to Pakistan in December. And I heard the testimony afterwards. And he said that, you know, he said to us, he said, look, please pray for us. We're going. And at the end of his email, he wrote like a scary thing, which kind of shook me a little bit. He said, you know, if I don't see you again, you know, carry on God's good work. I'll see you with the Lord. And I'm like, jeepers, Oak, you know, is that not to encourage me to pray? I guess it is. But I mean, I just thought, just there's a chance that these guys could get killed. Because guess what? They went into Pakistan at a very volatile time in the Islam calendar. And there was fighting and warfare. And so these guys went in faith, trusting that God would deliver them and would preach the gospel where they had to go and to preach it and, you know, to come back alive. But it was like Sias was saying, look, you know, if I die, I'm dying for the cause of the gospel. I'm happy to be going to the... If I have to die, I'm, you know, you guys just carry on with the good work. But we're going there to preach the gospel. And it's like this, where there's you in the middle of a war. And then he testified afterwards when he came back. He just wrote an email to all of us. And he just said, you know, the Holy Spirit was so faithful to warn them and showed them in a vision that there was this red truck that was going to come in to basically kill them, specifically to target them. And the Holy Spirit just says, get out of this place. And they passed this like red truck on the way out of where they were. This red truck was going. Can someone just get me some water, please? But he testifies of being in the middle of this war and how the Holy Spirit was faithful. And this psalm comes to mind now, where 1,000, you know, there could be people dying to your left and to your right, but the Holy Spirit is faithful to keep you, that no harm and no evil will come near you. And then it says, only with your eyes shall you look and you shall see the reward of the wicked. And you experience God's justice as well, in that, you know, the wicked are going to, unfortunately, be cast out of heaven and cast into hell. But the faithful, the faithful will remain. And you see God's justice. But you see, most of all, you experience his ability. You experience God's ability to deliver you out of every evil thing and to keep you from the hand of evil. But it all comes from the secret place, and it all comes from remaining in tune with the Holy Spirit, just like this team did, where they couldn't kill. The Spirit was saying to them in the middle of a war. And maybe this year, who knows what we'll find ourselves in. Not a physical war, but maybe in our minds we'll find ourselves stressing about unnecessary things, and the devil's going to shoot stuff in our minds, and we're going to be so stressed because there's this war going on around us, because what must we do now? And oh, there's just, my circumstances are going wrong. And God just says, just remain in the secret place. It shall not come near you. What you fear and what you think is going to happen is not going to happen. Just stay in my secret place. Hear what I have to say. Be reminded of the goodness of God in the secret place. Thirdly, it carries on here, and it says in verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Now, this is just ties in with what verse 1 says. It says, where you dwell in the secret place. It says, because you have done this, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, because you have decided to dwell there and to abide under the shadow of Almighty. Once again, it's a promise. It says, if you do that, then this will happen. It says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Look at this. It says, no evil shall befall you. It talks about your personal life. You as a person, no evil shall come near you. And then it says, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. It talks about a blessing on your house, where you stay, your family. You are blessed. You have God's favor on your life. Isn't that amazing? A bit unfair, you know, to those people out there who always seem to be the black sheep. Maybe if they're Christians, they need to understand the truth, because they are not the black sheep. If you come into you've been adopted as a son of God, you shouldn't have. Yes, you'll have stuff happening to you. But you know what? You've got the favor of God on you. You shouldn't be the black sheep, always being last and always being the least. You're not. God says we're firstborn. We're the sons of God. We should have favor. And if we're not experiencing favor, then we should say, God, what am I doing wrong? Because you want to pour favor out on my life. It says here, because if you make God your dwelling place, and maybe you haven't, maybe as a Christian you haven't made God your dwelling place, and that you're trusting in idols and other things, then you can't expect this favor. But if you make God your dwelling place and you say, Jesus, you're the leader of my life, then I should have no evil befalling me. I should not have a plague come near my dwelling. And sometimes bad things happen to Christians. I'm not saying that bad things don't happen, but you know what? You're at this place of peace where you forget about the circumstances, and you just say, thank you, God, that your favor is upon my life. You see, when you're in the secret place, you experience his favor. Because listen to this, it actually explains it here. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And isn't that amazing? Does anyone recognize this scripture? This is the exact scripture that the devil quotes to Jesus when he's in the desert. And he says, guess what? I've got all these kingdoms for you. Just jump here. You know, because the word of God says he'll catch you, man. Lest you dash your foot against a stone, he'll catch you. But just jump off here. The devil was living in presumption. He just said, man, he has the word of God. Just use it any way you like. No. The word of God says, because you have made the Lord your refuge, if you hear what God says and you make him your dwelling place and you listen to his voice and not the voice of the evil one, and don't obey him but obey God, then the angels will keep your foot from dashing against the stone. But the devil was like, no, do this, obey me, and then the scripture will come true. No. He was confused, very confused. But if we make the Lord our dwelling place, there are so many promises of God's favor. And you know what it speaks of to me? It speaks of, you know, we are still fallen. We still make mistakes. But guess what Romans 8:28 says? God will turn everything for our good as long as we're called according to his purpose. As long as we love him and follow him and dwell in him and abide in him, then guess what? Even when we make mistakes, people, this is good news to some of you. Sonja, as jy opgewonde. Salome, Johan and Alicia, this, even when you make mistakes, your fallenness doesn't shake God. He is still going to give his angels charge over you. Because yes, you can dash your foot against the stone sometimes. You will make mistakes. But God is going to turn everything good for your good, for your favor. Why? Because you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. In the secret place, you will start to know this. And sometimes some of you guys, me, myself, we don't always know this. But we need to know this tonight. You need to know that you're a son of God and that you have got the favor of God in your life. So guess what 2012 is? You're going to say, 2012, here I come. I'm living. I'm going to be purposeful. When I go to Angola like Conrad and work on the oil rigs there, I'm going to be purposeful because I've got the favor of God. Doesn't matter what, how weird and how disorganized the place looks there, I've got the favor of God. So Elizmarie, for your job, you can go this year and say, I'm going to make dresses for God. I'm going to make dresses for Jesus this year. I'm going to do what I've got to do for Jesus. John and Lizarie, you're going to study medicine for Jesus because you're just learning about God, learning about his amazing creation of the body, the human body. And by the way, Tina sends greetings from Kimberley. He just said he's getting very hot, but he found a nice church this morning and he's fellowshipping there, but I think he's working quite hard, but he is happy and he's in God's will. He's been sent to the hot place of Kimberley. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray for him. Maybe for ourselves as well, yeah, in the Free State. But you see, when we're studying and we're doing whatever we're doing, we're doing it with the favor of God on our lives. And some of us are living as if we're not sure, what must we do this year? What, you know, how must we be a blessing this year? How must we make a difference this year? You just say, you just remain in the secret place. Don't try to please God by doing stuff. Just remain in that secret place and say, God, show me how I must be a blessing this year. Because show me, first of all, Lord, your favor is on my life. I don't have to just pass. I can get a cum. I can work hard and I can, with your strength, I can get a good mark this year. I can work well this year. If I'm starting work, I can really, people can see when I go to that company, yes, man, there's something different about this guy. I mean, I remember when I started working there at a company in Stellenbosch, people could see there was something different. I had the joy of the Lord every morning where other people would go to work and they're all depressed. And people can see the difference in your life if you go to work with the favor of God on your life. And then it says here in verse 13, also talking about God's favor, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. It talks here about overcoming all your enemies, whether they're new or old. The young lion talks about the new enemies. You know, the old lion is the old enemies of your life, sin that's in your life. God has overcome them. And he says by his favor, you can know that if you remain in that secret place, you can know the favor to overcome. And it talks about the lion being a powerful enemy and the snake being a subtle enemy. Because some of the enemies of our lives are very subtle and we don't always recognize them. And that's why we need accountability. We need people in our lives to tell us our weak spots. Because we've got subtle weaknesses that God wants to just, you know, sort out a little bit in our lives and change. And he says, but I've overcome them if you just remain in the secret place. And that's why it's so awesome. The secret place also talks about the cell group, the small groups. And I want to say, join a small group. Make sure you're in a small group this year. Make sure you stay accountable. Because on your own, you're not going to make it. Those subtle enemies are going to take you out and they're going to deceive you. But guess what? If you remain in the secret place, it says here, you shall tread upon the lion. Say that after me. I shall tread upon the lion. Say it. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. You shall overcome all your enemies by the blood of the Lamb. And eventually it also talks here about that finally the Lord is going to bruise Satan. He's going to crush Satan and Satan is going to be destroyed and our enemies will be destroyed forever. But for now, we have got the power of God. And that is what grace is. You know that this is grace. Grace is the favor of God in our lives where we can overcome. We don't have to sin and just say, ah, there's grace, I'll sin. No, no, no. Grace says you overcome sin. Because I've made a way for you. So don't stay in sin. Don't be caught up in sin because you're subtle and you're strong and you're old and your new enemies can all be overcome. Isn't this good news tonight? Is someone excited? Yeah? Isn't the word of God awesome? I'm very excited. I think more people need to hear this, man. Let's go preach out in the streets there. Lastly, it ends here with Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16. And it says here, because he has set his love upon me, once again, it talks about because this person has set his love upon me, God saying, therefore I will deliver him. And this is for anyone who sets his love upon God. It says he will deliver him. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, says the Lord, because he has known my name. Once again, there's a because there. There's a condition. You need to know the name of God. You need to know who Jesus is, who God is in your life. You need to set your love and your heart and everything upon him. And then you will be delivered. He shall call upon me. Once again, talking about prayer. Understanding the importance of communing and fellowshipping with God in prayer. Call upon me. And he says, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that amazing? Six times he says, I will. Let's look at it. I will deliver him, God says. I will set him on high. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And lastly, I will satisfy him. I'll satisfy him with long life, as long as he knows. He needs to set his love upon me. He needs to know my name, God says. He needs to call upon me, pray, understand God. But it all comes from the secret place where you first of all experience God's character. It's basically just a summary of what we've been through. You need to experience his character, know his name, know his ability, and pray to him in faith and see him move, see his hand move in your life. Then you will be able to experience the long life that God's talking about. I will satisfy him with long life. It's talking about, you know, whether we die now or in 20 years' time, your life is going to be long because you're going to live eternity. You're going to live for eternity. And our lives are determined. God knows the time. And whether we make a difference like Jesus just for 3 years, whether we live 30 years and then just 3 years of ministry, powerful ministry, and then go to be with the Father, whether we live 100 years, God knows our time, but we're still going to live forever, because guess what? He ends off by saying, yeah, and I will show him my salvation. You know, one day our salvation is going to be complete. In the twinkling of an eye, we will see Jesus. We won't fall short of God's glory anymore. We'll be changed into his image. First, we'll worship him and bow down to him, and we'll sort of see him, and then we'll just fall down and worship him. But you know what? We're going to be changed. We're going to be perfect like Jesus. All sin will be cast away. Our salvation, the process of our salvation will be complete. Isn't that exciting? But for now, we still live on a bit of a fallen world, you know. But we are here, like Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'd actually love to die and to be with Christ now. But you know what? I'm here because 2012 is another year ahead of me, and I want to make a difference this year. I want to see how many people's lives I can touch. And who can I bring to church? And who can I just pray for this year? Even if it's just someone on the street, who can I just bless? And you never know what seed is going to grow into amazing fruit. Because it's not up to you to grow that fruit. It's up to you just to sow the seeds. It's up to you to just be a blessing. But you see, when you come from the secret place, it's like you can change the world. Because you know that the love of God is upon you. You know that he's going to deliver you. You know his name. You know God. You know his character and his ability. You know, that's faith, is knowing God's character and his ability. That he wants to do it. He's a good God. He loves you. He wants to do it. And yes, he can also do it. He's able to do it. He's able to heal you. He's able to deliver you from any circumstance. He's able to change your circumstances. He's able to do whatever he wants to do. God is an awesome God. And one day, our salvation will be complete. One day, none of this is going to matter. But for now, it's urgent that people who don't experience this, experience the secret place. So I want to encourage you, God, this evening. We are going to experience God's promises this year if we just abide in his love. We abide in him. We call upon him. We just obey him. We just hear his voice. But it all comes from the secret place. So you know what? Lots is going to happen this year. But I want to encourage you guys now, at the start of the year, to sit and to say, Lord, I want to practice your presence this year. I want to practice getting out of all the challenges and the struggles of life and just getting into that secret place and then saying, Lord, okay, I want to stay here now. I don't have to have quiet time for 12 hours and just read the Bible the whole day like us pastors do. Some people say all we do is read the Bible and pray. Great. Glad I've got such an awesome job, eh? But I mean, it's not about that. It's about walking out of that quiet place and you're still in the secret place. You're still in that place where God's presence is with you, and when someone says something bad against you, it just falls away because you know you are in Christ. You don't let someone else's opinion affect you, or some circumstance or some thing that didn't go through. You just know there's a God here who's for you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? So I believe this year we need to just remain and say, God, in 2012, I'm going to commit, because there's lots of stuff and I'm going to preach about this year, and I'm so excited about the first year's coming and just our new venue and all that. But you know, that's great. But if we don't abide in the secret place, all that stuff doesn't really matter. We're just doing stuff for God and we're kind of doing a job. But we need to be in the presence of God all the time. This year, we need to say, God, I want your prayer. I want to desire Jesus more than anything else. I want to desire who you are and get to know you more. Because you know what? We don't know God. We must admit, we have got such little faith sometimes. That's why Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, you have little faith. Many times, he just said, you have little faith. Don't you believe? God just says he wants us to believe this year in the impossible. And guess what? Out of this place of being in the secret place, miracles are going to happen. Lives are going to change. This church is going to be filled with lives if we just believe that God can save people and believe in the healings and the miracles that he wants to do. But if we don't do it in the secret place, we're not going to see it happen. And we're going to wonder why and get offended with God. But his word is very clear. Unless you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, unless you dwell in the secret place, these promises won't happen. But who wants these promises? Because you can have it. Jesus has made a way. All we have to do is say yes to Jesus. We just have to say, Jesus, show me. Because I can't get into the secret place on my own. You've made a way for me, and I just choose to receive it. And I choose to walk in it and live in it. So in conclusion, I just want to summarize again and say, in the secret place, first of all, you experience God's character. Secondly, you experience his ability and his power and his amazing ability to be able to do all things. Then you experience his favor on your life, and then you lastly experience all the promises that are in the Bible. Everything is yes and amen for your life if you just abide in the secret place. Remaining in the secret place is a choice that we can all make, and we can even do it tonight. So let's all stand and close our eyes, because Jesus has made a way for it all. Jesus has made it possible that we can remain in the secret place, but it's just a choice for us to make. So I want us all, if you feel that you want to do that, now don't just do it because I said you must do it, but I believe some of us need to make a choice to start this year on the right note, because maybe your year has been a bit of a challenge so far. It's a week and it's just been hustle and bustle, and you haven't sat down to that place where you're really at peace and you know what God's will is. Then I want us tonight just to be honest, close our eyes and just say and give our lives again to Jesus. But let's just pray. Father, thank you right now for your word, Lord. We are so in awe of just the accuracy and the perfection of your word, Lord. And even though I tonight have brought your word as a human being, Lord, as a fallible human being, thank you that your word remains so powerful, Lord, and so accurate, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And your word tonight cuts, Lord, between every soul and spirit, yeah, Lord, including myself, Lord. Your word is a, Lord, it's an arrow that divides, and Lord, it comes into our hearts, and it even lightens the dark place of our hearts, God, and even our minds tonight. It penetrates, Lord. Your word is so powerful. So we thank you for Psalm 91. We thank you for this word, and Lord, tonight we don't just want to stay the same. We want to change. We want to respond to your word tonight, Lord. So I pray right now for every person who's under the conviction, under the power of the Holy Spirit, and under the presence of the Holy Spirit, under my voice right now. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, you're moving and that you've already touched lives. And I pray, Lord, right now for responses that are pleasing unto you, Lord, that responses will be just a sweet-smelling aroma unto you, Lord. Whether it's just a hand or just from the heart, Lord, you see our hearts tonight. And so, Lord, I pray for every person right now that where you have touched a specific button, Lord, you have pressed a button in every mind and every heart tonight. And I thank you that we can respond to your callings upon our lives, all of our lives.